adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician. Is that music too loud or something?
No,
or
it's good.
Just me?
It's just you.
You like that?
Yeah.
All right, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Tristan and Ryan are both here, the newlyweds. Of course, we all saw them get married on, my wife said December 7th, but I said, no, that's Pearl Harbor Day. They couldn't. No one's stupid enough to get married on December 7th. And she's standing by it. I said it was about 4 months ago, right?
It was December 6th.
Okay.
Wow. All right. Maybe it aired the 7th?
It aired the 10th.
Ah.
Well,
she's pretty close.
And you guys, now, there was, Now, tell me, you know, they edited that thing in such a way where Ryan looked like he was going to, you know, kill you and collect the insurance like
yeah.
the day after you got married.
Right.
And everyone was watching going, oh, man, look at him. He's had an ass full. Look at him. He wants out. Because what they do is they go, Trista says, I want your tux to be pink. Yeah. And then they cut to Ryan, maybe out of context, maybe
pacing.
Not. Pacing and looking angry, yeah. and then you watch it and you go, oh man, this seems not going to last
over.
10 minutes. Yeah, Liza Minnelli.
Yeah.
And what's his homo is going to last longer than this. But is that, were you really going nuts, Ryan, or is that just the editing?
It was editing. I think they were playing it up for the big finish that we made it through all of the pink and all that stuff, and we still got married and that kind of stuff. I mean,
weddings do drive everybody crazy anyway.
They do.
Yeah. Then the bachelor party, the controversial bachelor party.
It really was, actually. In real life, it was.
I rarely yell at the TV, but I was actually yelling. What the? What are you? Oh, no, sit down. Oh, Christ, no. Drew. I was yelling at the set.
You do that once, but you were loaded, though.
I only do it during sporting events.
Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah, that's right, I'm drunk.
When you're drunk.
That's right. Okay. All right. These guys have a very good charity that they're raising some money for. It's called Two Love Clothing Company. Mm-hmm. Is that like Two Love like tennis or just Two Love?
I guess maybe. But it's Two Love is the t-shirt company.
Right.
And then... We're helping to raise money with them for the Step Up Women's Network, which is part of Girls Inc.
Yeah.
They give money to, I think, programs for underprivileged girls and for, like, mentorship programs and stuff like that.
Nice.
So,
and
you
guys are designing a t-shirt, and then they go into production, and the proceeds go to the Girls Inc.?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And what's... What's yours going to be? Did you do it already? Do you have it?
We've done it, but they're
Ryan's is
not
pink.
Ready yet.
I know, but it's a pink center with pink accents and pink roping,
and chiffon frill.
Yeah, and then a bullseye with a whip cracks on it. No, what is it, Ryan? You've salvaged some dignity now, right? I mean, you got like a fireman theme or something. What do you got?
Mine is really tasteful. Actually, I've kind of started into this sort of. Kind of natural, sustainable living kind of aspect in my life, and so I tried to incorporate that in my t-shirt.
Ooh.
It's organic cotton.
Hemp.
I tried to get hemp stitching, but they didn't have that. So,
you want in, but the design has to say like solar power with a fist or something, right? I mean, it has to say something on it, right?
The theme is love, and so I went with kind of loving the earth and did sort of a.
But it has a feathery, soft feel. I'm reading.
Yes.
True. It's very feminine. It's a feminine shirt.
It's for girls. So
True.
He's designing a woman's t-shirt. Yeah.
Have you ever had to do one of those?
What?
Like
design a
something
shirt?
For charity? Not a shirt, just one of those things.
Yeah.
Like,
anything,
when you get something like once Jimmy and I got a hockey stick and we're supposed to paint it up our own way and Jimmy went nuts on his and I did like two or three strokes marks a lot and I start talking on the phone. I got distracted and then I gave it to Jimmy and he finished it. For me, but it was for a good cause.
Yeah.
So, what about this sustainable living? You into like solar power?
Not necessarily solar power, but I'm trying to get into more sort of a social conscious attitude towards living rather than a lot of wasteful things that go on in today's society. So, I'm just kind of getting my feet wet in it, but it's something that kind of interests me.
Are you still doing any firemaning?
Yeah, I'm full time. I'm full time back at the fire.
Oh, you are?
Firehouse. Yeah.
What city?
In Vail, Colorado?
Vail, that's right.
Wow. What a gig.
I know.
That's a dream gig.
Adam tried to become a firefighter.
I did.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell a story.
I signed up to be a fireman in North Hollywood after I barely graduated from high school.
They asked for applicants, be fair.
No, they didn't.
Oh, they said you saw something saying applicants.
No, I walked down to the North Hollywood fire station when I was about 19 and a half, and, you know, life wasn't looking too good for me at the time. I was just living in my garage, and my stepmom was trying to kick me out of the house. I didn't have any job. I wasn't going to college. I didn't have any money. I had a, you know, fairly pathetic family who was, you know, apathetic at best about their kids. And they just wanted me to get out of the house. So I wanted to get a job. I thought fireman seems like a good job because fireman is really, it's got the perks of cop, but you get the poontang. Whereas the cops well, like black people spit on you, you know? Firemen, at least people love firemen.
Right.
Cats love them. Chicks love they love them so much you have to come out with beefcake calendars every 10 minutes because the women can't get enough. I'm surprised it's not just a gathering of women just sitting out front, like holding
there
a vigil out front of the firehouse.
People can keep coming to see him. I mean, obviously he was on TV, but I think for part of the reason is because he's a firefighter, and hey, I get to go to the firehouse and see all the guys.
Chicks, they love a guy in a uniform, but they don't need the sort of baggage that the cop comes with.
Right.
And then the military,
it's going away
you know,
too
you got
much.
Blood on your hands.
Going
you
away
know?
Too much.
And then there's other uniforms. There's like that's UPS, but those gay shorts with the brown
right.
shirt and the stupid black yeah. socks. No, firemen, that's the way to go. And then the hours are great because you work like 3 days in a row, and then you have a few days off. Mm-hmm. How the hours work?
I end up working about 9 to 10 days a month.
Oh,
you hear that?
And during those days, you work out and cook.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Totally.
Here's what you do. You ring a bell, because I know that, and you go down the
do
pole.
Do you ring a bell?
The bell gets rung for us.
The bell gets rung.
Oh,
right,
how right, dare right, you?
But,
how
but
dare you?
You guys, like, if I just started up, I'd be ringing the bell.
There you go.
Here's what you do. You spend the whole day working out and watching cable and eating. And then
cooking.
But there's one guy who cooks. He's got a funny mustache, a little bit older. You call him Cookie. It's a big joke. He's got the three-alarm chili. That's a big joke.
And shopping. Right? A lot of shopping.
Too. And once in a while, a call goes out, but you show up, and some other engine already showed up. You guys ask if everything's cool, and then you go back and eat, right?
We only have two stations in Vail, so if there is a call, we're...
Oh, you got to show up.
A lot of stuff to the hill then, right?
Yeah.
A lot of calls to the hill.
Yeah.
But we
stay pretty busy. I mean, in a sense, you're right. We go shopping, we cook, we do that kind of stuff. But
we were just kidding.
No, I wasn't. It's a fraternity, too. It's a bunch of other guys who know they got it made, right?
It's a great job. It really is a great job.
Yeah.
It's like a family there.
Did you grow up in Colorado?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, what a gig. 9 days. Well, anyway, I signed up. I said, this is for me. So I signed up, and they said, well, it's going to be a little wait because you're a white guy. And they didn't exactly say that, but I knew what they meant. And 5 years later, I got the thing in the mail that said...
5 years?
5 years later, I got a thing in the mail that said, it's time to take your written test. And I took it. I didn't even want to be a fireman 5 years later. I was a carpenter at the time, but I thought, what the hell? If I waited 5 years to be sodomized, and I got that note in the mail to be like, all right, well,
here we go.
I signed up 5 years ago. So I went down to Hollywood High, and I was standing in line, and there was this, I don't know what she was. She was a chick, and she was like Asian or mulatto or black. I don't know what she was, an Indian. She had some kind of mix something going on. And I said to her, when did you sign up? She goes, 2 days ago. And I thought, holy Christ.
Yeah.
Man, look at me. I thought, I hate the man, I thought. But then I thought, I am the man. I thought, I hate myself. And I started getting angry at my parents. And that was the end of my fire career. I passed the written test and then failed the one where you have to pull the weight through the rope.
Really?
Yeah, I'll show it to you one day, Drew. Yeah.
What do you have to do?
There's a whole bunch of different stuff.
There's a bunch of different stuff. Yeah. This thing, we put a pack on, you jump up and down. It's very vigorous. That's why they get the chicks. Patricia?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm sweating like a maniac. I was working out like a maniac to the last second before I came here.
That's why I turned the air down.
Thank you.
More.
Patricia?
Yeah.
You're 22?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Well, I'm not doing much of anything.
How about that?
All righty.
Do you have
Sorry
more?
For disturbing you on a Sunday night. You have a question?
Yeah. My boyfriend's coming back into town on Tuesday, and I want to do something really special for him because he's been out of town for 3 weeks.
What's he been doing?
He went back to Denmark to visit his family.
Hmm.
Wow.
This is your boyfriend. How long has he been your boyfriend?
9 months.
And he's and you're calling from Kansas City?
Yeah.
So he's coming back to stay and live in Kansas City from Denmark?
Yeah.
Same place, right?
Yeah, all right next door.
It's actually Danes. Pretty boring in Denmark, so...
It is.
As opposed to Kansas City.
Actually, right. You'd be surprised.
Oh, yeah, no.
The plaza?
We were in KC for a spell.
I've been there a couple times now.
It's so he's coming back. You want to... So wait, you're talking, like, sexually, right?
Well, you know, he gets back into town pretty late, so there's not a lot of things to do when he gets back into town.
He may be interested in sleeping when he gets back.
He's a European guy, so you're going to have to...
Yeah. Well, you know, it's been 3 weeks, so I don't think he's going to be that interested in sleeping.
All right. Well, look, I know what she's going, where she's direction she's
Listen,
going
all,
here.
You just show some enthusiasm, he'll be fine. That's all you have to do.
But
be interested
she's actually
in him.
Looking for...
I know.
She wants... I know what she wants.
Yeah.
You want Drew to give you the green light on anal, right?
I don't think I need
Drew,
to
give her your stamp.
No.
Give her the anal stamp.
No, all you got to do Drew. Is show your enthusiasm, and he will be fine. It's all pizza. Give her the pizza talk, please.
No.
Please.
All right, Patricia.
Yeah.
I don't know what your question is. He shows up, you be awake, he has sex with you.
That's all a guy needs.
Exactly.
Yeah, what do you want? What do you want to do?
Especially after he's been gone for 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
You want to do... Hey, look, you know what? Let me tell you. Let's talk. Ryan will back me up on this. Guys, we don't like a lot of surprises in the bedroom. We know what we want.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, here's a... Okay, forget about the pizza thing. But sex is like a restaurant that we like.
Yes.
And we don't... We know what we want.
The girlfriend or the wife is the restaurant we like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Eventually, the food gets old, and you want to eat even off the truck would be great once in a while. But no, the point is yes, that's what we want. That's what we like. We know what we want. We don't want someone saying, "Don't worry, I know what you like." I'm like, right. No. We know what we like.
We would have let you know long ago.
That's right. You would have been doing that, and that would have been this.
This is where the fallacy of these GD women's magazines come in. It's because it's all about, ooh, we're going to teach you how. You will never meet the guy that goes, "Hey, Ryan, you should..." Oh, my girlfriend, she read this thing at Cosmo. Unbelievable.
No, yeah.
That guy doesn't exist. That guy does not exist.
Trail of rose petals leading into the tub.
Oh, yeah,
the candles were lit. I got a sensual massage. Yeah, and a cuticle push.
Feathers.
Really, yes, what you guys could do is... I mean, if you really... You know, here's the sad reality. Ryan, I hope you're man enough to agree with this. But sad reality is you want to make a special night for us, let us have sex with you, and then let us go into the other room and unwind. Just leave us alone. I mean, whatever, that's what we want. It's sad. Here, we'd like sex like we're having sex with a prostitute, and then we'd just get up, but no payment, and then we just get up and leave and just go into the next room. I don't want to make it brutal, but that's it. Let us watch some TV while we're making love to you.
You're going further down the slide here.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if that's helping your cause.
That would be a very special night. It would be special. Drew, okay, Ryan, if Trista said, "Hey, tonight, baby, it's your birthday, we're going to have sex, there'll be no talking, you can have the TV on if you like, and then as soon as you're done, I'm going to head for the kitchen and start rattling the pots and pans, you
make
go to
a
the
sandwich
den
for you.
And start watching TiVo," how's that sound?
Oh.
It's okay. Answer freely.
No, I personally enjoy hanging out with Trista afterwards, so it's not...
Well, she's in the kitchen. She can hear you.
I don't cook. He doesn't like me to cook. I'm
We've
really
only been married
cook.
For a few months.
Really?
So, I mean, we haven't quite gotten to the point where I'm ready to desert her.
All right.
Right
and
away.
He's not so into TV, so...
Really?
Yeah, unless
wow.
unless there's a really good game on or something.
Okay, well, we got nothing left to talk about because I'm into TV. And those who aren't into TV...
I'm into TV.
Okay.
That would be my thing.
Well,
but
tell Ryan I'm into TV, and from now on we can sort of communicate that way, okay? I'll work through you, Trista.
Cool.
Drew, tell Trista that I'm a big TiVo man.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Adam loves TiVo.
And ask Trista to remind
I'm not
Ryan.
Supposed to, yes, I'm supposed
no,
to go to Ryan.
I'm going to use you.
To both of them.
Yeah, no.
Because you can talk to Trista. You can
well,
hang out with her.
I'd like to include you, though.
Okay.
Tell Trista to remind Ryan that the reason he's here and selling those frilly T-shirts of his is because of something called TV. Okay?
Right, right.
All right? So I find it ironic that the guy who's too good for TV is sitting here in our beautiful studio.
Ironically, on radio, ironically enough.
Ironically, because of television. Said invention,
I
television.
I think there's been a misunderstanding.
Okay, yeah. Talk to Drew.
Drew, you don't mind relaying this to
No, I don't mind at all. No,
you relay it to me, Ryan, so I relay it to
no,
you.
No, Adam, Ryan, go through. Adam Drew, said Drew, go back to Trista. Wants, Trista can come to me if she has
Adam,
anything to say.
Ryan, Adam would like the salt. Would you pass the salt, please?
Yeah.
Tell Drew what you want him to tell Trista.
Okay. I'm the medium.
Well, I think what's happened here is somehow there's been confusion from the point of
no,
me.
No, don't look at him. Don't look at him.
Me
yeah,
wanting to.
No, not her either. It's here. I'm right here.
Because.
First off,
just because
you're dead
I don't
to me.
Necessarily.
Okay. So, I don't even know who's talking. But if you want to tell Drew
I'm listening.
Something,
I'm listening. You're vibrant
and
alive.
If it's important enough for him to tell Trista and then she decides to pass it on to me, well, then maybe I'll hear it. Go ahead.
Yeah, listen. Misunderstanding.
What's happened is it's turned from me not necessarily wanting to leave my wife
to
after
watch
having
TV.
Sex with her to watch TV to
you know
me
what?
Being completely opposed to television.
Yeah, right,
which
exactly.
is not true.
Got it. Okay.
I enjoy television.
Okay.
And
Ryan says you're an asshole.
Yeah. Oh, it's fireman. Shouldn't he be working on a calendar or a T-shirt or something? All right. Do you have anything to tell Trista?
Honey, no.
All right.
No.
Let's put this behind us.
Yeah.
Monica?
Good. Yes.
He's fine, Ryan.
You're 26?
I think you rattled poor Ryan there. I think he's actually sick. I think Adam really tried to assess whether he could actually hang out with you or not.
Right. Right.
I wish I was watching TV right now.
Well, when I hang out with somebody, that's what we do. We watch TV.
There is an absolute deal breaker sort of preference for you that determines whether you can hang out with a guy.
We got to be able to watch TV because that's what I do when we hang out.
It's that and your famous receiving.
Oh, yeah. All right, Drew, please. Monica?
Yes.
You're 26?
Yes.
What's up?
Hi, everyone. Okay, my question is, I had this really weird experience when I was really young. I would say below, like, 3 or 4, okay? And it was an experience with my cousin, Karina, okay? And it was, like, you know, kind of, like, it was sexual, right?
Mm. How old was she?
She was my age.
And you were what, pre-age six?
We were both, like, 3.
Okay.
We would just, like, kind of play.
The
and...
story sounds good, but why are you dropping
the name?
Name?
Yeah, the name is very unsettling. Most people would hide a name if this was a real story.
Okay, well, these are fake names.
Okay. Okay. But then why? Okay.
Why
hold
have
on
names
a second.
At all?
You know when you watch those 2020 exposés and they got the guy dark in the shadow and mm-hmm. they've disguised his voice? They're like, we're calling him Mark.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not his name. Yeah, we're calling him. Don't call him anything then. What do you think? I need a fake name?
Right.
He's not a stripper.
No, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't need to find him. Mark, with the quotations. This is not his real name, but don't call him anything then.
I'm with you.
All right, thank you. All right, you and the fake name person were having sex. She's your cousin.
No, you were both 3.
No, we weren't having sex. We were just kind of like fondling and stuff like this, right?
All right.
And now I was wondering, would this affect my constant relationship failure, or perhaps it would like, because I'm manic depressant too, and I don't know if this is all linked to maybe this.
I think the bigger problem is you're 26 and you would not say the word sex, but yet you spelled it out like we were driving with a 2-year-old in the back seat having a discussion.
Micah,
that's more troubling to
here's
me.
Here's one of the things that sometimes causes very young children to be prematurely precocious with their sexuality. And that is a lot of chaos in the home. And so if you were both dealing with the horrible sort of circumstances there, sometimes kids will start looking to self-stimulate in ways that are abnormal.
Yeah.
And so it's more, it's you can't really separate the two things out. It's not so much the contact much as the context for the acting out.
Yeah, but this isn't the the root
I'm
of
just,
her problem.
That's what I'm saying, is that it may be the
but you're saying
context.
The family that spawns that
yes,
may have been the root of the problem.
Right. That's right.
90 years of college, everybody. This is what you get. All right, so Monica, you had one episode with your cousin where you were 3 years old and you touched each other.
Yeah, it was...
Okay, well, that's not why your relationships are failing.
Okay.
I mean,
what's
here's the thing about failing in relationship. Most people's relationships fail anyway. Yeah. I mean, if you asked 90% of the people on the street and said, how are you in the relationship department? They'd give you one of these at best. I mean, it's like 50%, 60%. I mean, not everyone goes, oh, no, I'm the best. It's the greatest. It's nothing but luck, you know?
But what I don't understand is why are you trying to find blame for it? Because how...
She's trying to understand why she's
to go forward.
Why she's having problems now.
Well, because I'm going through therapy, you see, and I'm really wanting to expand and learn and grow.
All right, here's the deal. You figure out where the traumas are.
Okay.
Who traumatized you other than this? This is a little trauma. Where are the big T traumas?
Well, I had a psychotic breakdown, and that was pretty traumatic.
No, when you were a kid.
Yeah, but who did it to you?
Child?
Yeah.
Nothing. I mean, really.
There wasn't a lot of chaos in your home?
No.
There wasn't mental illness in your family?
Not even that. I mean, that's the weird part. It's kind of, I kind of did it myself.
All right.
Well, maybe it's a biological thing. I mean, there's a certain amount of this that has genetically predetermined. So.
She's 26. She's all over the place.
All right.
I don't know when you start worrying about this stuff, but 26 is getting to the outer edge of it.
Of what?
Having bad relationships.
Yeah.
But Drew, I mean, look at yourself, right? I mean, when did you... No, I know. It's painful, but I mean, when did you put your first... You know, you didn't do anything. You didn't make a move to your, like, 30, right?
To what, a good relationship?
Yeah, banging a series of faceless candy stripers. And a couple of radiologists. I mean, just, you know, just sort of the mortar between the candy striper bricks every once in a while. You know, things slow down. You know, a little mercy killing... You're all over the place.
Yep.
You couldn't get anything going, right?
In fact, we were watching films tonight of our kids when they were like 1 and 2 and 3.
Yeah.
And thinking, oh, too bad it didn't happen now. I'd be even a better parent.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Aww. Drew, he's trying to figure out a way to beat himself up even watching the family movie. Drew loves his kids, boy. He loves them. He tells me all the time, I'm going to need $30 million for each one of them to go to junior college. I'm like, look, my parents spent $1,800 on me since junior high, and I'm fine. Look at me.
Yeah,
literally.
That's what I'm talking about.
$30 million.
It's true.
Come on.
Yeah, they'll be fine. They'll land on their feet. But, you know, I started freaked out because I was saying, you know, your kids, you know, the house you live in, the opportunities, these, you know, Drew traveling around is... Kids going to Cuba and Fidel Castro's yelling at them about baseball for 3 hours. These kids are meeting people. They're all over the place. They have opportunities because of, you know, Daddy Drew.
He
makes good money. He's respected. He travels and all that kind of stuff. Here's what I'm saying. You live in a big, nice house. They're going to live in a crappier house than they grew up in. Which doesn't mean they're going to live in a crappy house. But just think about that concept of stepping down. I suppose a lot of people have to do it. When you're Corolla, you don't have to worry about that. You move into a goddamn refrigerator box. You're doing better.
God willing, at least the boys will be firefighters in Vail or Aspen or something.
Yeah,
great.
See,
it won't matter.
That's what I don't like about guys like Ryan, too, because...
Who are you talking about?
Ryan. Tell Trista.
Yeah.
You know why? Because part of the reason I made money is so I could turn my nose up at all those who made less than me, you know? But once in a while there's somebody firefighter in Vail, $65,000 a year?
No, not even close.
50.
45.
This is worse.
Because his life is that much better.
I know, I make 20 times as much money as he does. His life's 10 times better than mine.
Yes,
this is
true.
Horrible. Oh, he makes me sick, this one. No TV.
Good thing he's dead.
And now this. If he wasn't dead to me, I'd go after him. All right. Tristan and Ryan are both here tonight. They're good sports. Right, I'm going to drink some water, Drew.
Really?
Cool off.
Take a shower.
We're going to come back. I know, I'm all fired. I was skipping rope like I was making a Rocky sequel, and then I sprinted over here, and I'm still fired up. All right, we're gonna relax. Ryan, you should eat, maybe work out. I don't know if this is the longest you've been without working out and eating.
He can make it whip some up.
Drew,
for
make
us.
Like a 70-gallon pot of chili in there so Ryan feels at home. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Trista and Ryan are both here tonight. The newlyweds.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, do you guys live in Vail?
Mm-hmm. Kinda.
Just outside.
It's right across from Beaver Creek Mountain, if you've been.
Mm.
It's so pretty.
It's so pretty. But Beaver Creek, up the valley there, kinda.
Yeah.
Yep, up in there.
We're up on basically a mountain.
By the lodge?
We're on the other side of the valley
from the lodge.
Beaver Creek.
No, the other side of the highway.
Oh, before you go up the.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
No, it's way up. We're at, what, 8,500?
Yeah.
They were talking about that when I was in Aspen. Like, be careful about drinking.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Beer will be I went nuts. Nothing. I looked at it as a challenge. It's like Drew, when I see the sticker on the medication with the martini glass and the slash.
The bubbles coming up.
Yeah, that's game on. Can't we replace that? Is it 1956 and Ed McMahon has ordered a double? Like, something about that the martini glass with... And then, Drew and I were talking about this. Why the martini glass with then the bubbles coming off?
Yeah.
It should be a champagne glass with the bubbles.
Agreed.
Or a martini with an olive.
Yeah.
Right.
How dare
Drew,
they?
Let's look into that.
They change this.
You got friends over at the labeling department of like the FDA or something,
sure.
Don't you? Just talk to them. Tell them the thing about the...
Actually, I suspect it has nothing to do with any governmental agency. It's merely a label company.
Yeah.
So we just come out with a better label.
And who decided everything had to be tilted that was getting a slash through it? It's harder to read. It's like, look, here's the deal. Here's the thing that says you can't do it. The slash, not the fact that it's falling over. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
I don't need to see it falling.
I hear you.
Just put it straight and then put the slash. I can't tell if the thing's at an angle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Get that. Work on that.
New labels.
Let's go. All right. Let's, what's the, I'm trying to think. Yeah, Girls Incorporated, everybody. Now, where do you get these T-shirts that you guys design? Trista and Ryan both designed a T-shirt you can get, and all of the money goes to Girls Incorporated.
Part of the money.
Part of the money.
Yeah. I don't want to be unclear about that.
Yeah.
But people can buy them at Saks, Nordstrom's. Macy's, and then boutiques. And
it's an interesting group of people doing this. Jessica Alba, Michelle Branch, Jillian Barbieri, Brittany Murphy.
Yeah. And they're having, I guess they're doing reality people are designing T-shirts this time around. I don't know who all they have. I know that Estella from The Bachelor, I think, was asked, and a couple of people from Survivor, but so sure. Hopefully, if you like them,
yeah,
what's up? No.
Pick one up.
Yeah, did you bring one?
They're not done yet.
Oh, all right. But your design's done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, and Ryan's got the one you can smoke.
Yeah. Right. Or recycle anyway.
You can recycle. Jen.
Jen.
Hello.
21. Yes. There you are.
What's up?
Well, I was just recently diagnosed with cervical dysplasia, which I am told is the beginning stages of cervical cancer.
That's right.
And my doctor didn't really explain the cause of it or what I can do to... I had the LEAP procedure done where they removed the cells that were were bad.
Yep.
And what can I do to prevent it, and what really causes it? She never really went into that.
Well, what really probably causes the majority of these cases is the wart virus.
Really?
Human papillomavirus.
That's new, though, right?
It's newly determined that it's the cause of most of this. So you should consider... Did he talk to you about that? Did he do testing for that?
Yes, and I do not have that. That was one thing that we did do.
Huh. All right. And how old were you when you started having sex?
I was 19.
Okay. Any other pelvic infections or other problems or herpes, anything like that?
No, the only other thing I have is endometriosis.
Okay. Well...
So does this mean she's going to get cervical cancer?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't necessarily. What it means is that you clearly have some predisposition. I still am very suspicious that it's the wart virus, nonetheless. And you're going to have to be very, very cautious and very, very diligent about having testing for this. And whenever the precancerous cells show up again, yeah, they just take them. Take them off whenever they show up again.
What about my cancer-sniffing dogs, Drew? Are those
Jen's already got, you know.
My dogs could stop some of these tragedies.
Yes, they could.
Listen to this idea.
Just run them through the Rose Bowl or something? Or?
No, I'll tell you how it's going to work. Ryan, you guys got a Dalmatian over at the house, right?
No.
What?
I know. It's too cold.
Great Pyrenees.
All right. Good. Those are the craziest, most neurotic inbred dogs in the world, those Dalmatians. Who decided they should be near fire equipment? Yeah. You know what I mean? It's the worst pet ever to be near fire. Yes, but I mean, I guess with the short hair, it's smart. You know, long
catch on fire. Yeah.
Pekingese might go right up.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't want to use a cat. Cats?
No.
Okay, but here's what I'm saying. Everything's got a smell. Dogs can sniff everything out. They can sniff the cocaine at the airport, the gunpowder. They take a joint, they pack it in 20 pounds of coffee grounds, they weld it into some truck fender, it comes over from Mexico, and a dog starts humping the truck, letting the handler know that there's a joint welded in the fender. Amazing sense of smell. Amazing sense of smell. Which then always begs the question, Drew and I, why they smell their own crap for so long?
And each other's rear.
When it's 1,000 times more cute than ours.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? And Drew's hypothesis was when it's 1,000 times more, it starts smelling
lilacs.
Good.
Yeah. It comes around. It comes around the other side.
I think it'd be like brisket or something. I don't think it'd be like sweets. You know, be like flowers.
It could be floral.
I don't think it would be floral. It wouldn't be like something you'd spray in the bathroom, but it would smell like a good...
Something good, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. Some more visceral. Yeah,
brisket, yeah. But anyway, so... The dogs can sniff out anything, and everything's got its own smell. I mean, whenever you have an infection or something, it's got its own thing going on. Dogs could sniff out cancerous cells. They started testing them. They could smell skin cancer.
Yep, they could do that.
Seriously?
Yeah, they can do that. Yeah.
Wow.
They could start smelling women downstairs and figuring out whether they had a venereal disease or some precancerous something. Yeah. The women, they don't have to drop their panties and get up on the stirrups or do anything.
Just walk them by the chlamydia dog.
Well, we run them by.
Run by chlamydia.
We run the dog by.
Cervical dysplasia dog, the cancer dog.
Right. So the ladies just line up like in the first bleacher of the gymnasium, and they just come running, you know.
So it looks kind of like a dog show.
Yeah, wear something billowy, but you don't have to take anything off. Yeah. And, it looks like a dog show. And when the dog stops, that's a person. Because here's the thing. You gotta go drop your drawers and get up on the stirrups and some person. It's always a suspect nationality poking around down there too.
Right.
And half the time you got nothing, or 90% of the time you got nothing. Yeah. So you're just there and they're poking around. I mean, who wants to go through this humiliating ritual again and again? Whereas a dog, everyone loves a dog.
I think you're onto something.
And when you think about the position a medium-sized dog is when you're petting it, it's right there. What it knows already.
These would all be basset hounds of that sort of, really.
Bloodhounds, basset hounds. We got to get about knee height. So I'm just saying.
They're different sizes, I'm saying.
There's a lot of women that don't want to go to see the doctor.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
And think how many women could be seen with just one good lap around the gym with these dogs.
That's what I'm saying. You just run through the bleachers of the Rose Bowl or something, you know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Todd?
Talk about screening.
Yeah, what's up, man?
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Nothing. Just chilling, man.
All right. What's your question?
All right. Me and my girlfriend, whenever we have sex, you know, it usually lasts for a while. You know, I usually last for a while. And last night I was at a party and I cheated on my girlfriend with this one girl. And I only lasted like 2 minutes. And I couldn't even, you know, go again. Wow. That's my question. Why did that happen?
I'm breaking my heart, Todd. Yeah?
Flying nun in the background.
Really? This is bogus.
No,
I don't know. No, that can happen.
Really? Well, I know it can happen, but does he call and announce it on the radio?
I'm just wondering, like, why that happened. Like, I mean,
he's actually confused.
No, it's bogus.
Hang on a second. You don't understand that novelty is something that causes arousal?
Oh, what does that mean?
doesn't know what arousal novelty is.
Novelty?
True.
Huh?
That
he thinks they're like a daisy that squirts you in the eye.
Yeah, but now do you believe the call?
No.
Do you understand that newness, that a new person creates a high level of excitement?
No, but I mean, then why wouldn't I have been able to go again, though? That's what I mean.
Touche.
Were you drinking or doing drugs?
I only had like two or three beers.
Nothing else. You want any medication now?
No.
By the way, what's going on where people actually get to have sex at the party?
That's weird.
Oh,
is it your house?
Yeah.
Okay, so you met her at the party.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
And you took her home to your house?
No, the party was at my house.
Okay, well, you still actually got to have sex at the party, technically. I was right.
He just made a room for it.
Yeah, but it was the party going on when you had sex with her?
I mean, it was like 3 in the morning, so basically everybody had left or fallen asleep or passed out or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And what about your girlfriend? Why wasn't she invited to the party?
Because she had to work late, and then she called me and was like, yeah, I'm going home, I'm tired and stuff.
All right. Let me give you a little...
How about the part where... Aren't you worried that she might hear this conversation?
No, because she never listens to Love Line and she goes to sleep.
How dare you attack?
Pretty early.
Can't wait. She doesn't have any... Okay, hold on a second.
All right, I got to give
hold
a little
on.
Thought.
Todd has a distinct sort of Down syndrome meets Hesher meets retard kind of voice.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
It easily, one of her friends go, hey, I heard the tennis talking. You know, he had the, didn't he, did he have a party?
Yeah.
He had a party on Friday, didn't he?
Yeah.
What? Huh?
I know. It's bad times.
This big enough problem is his penis isn't working when he cheats?
All right, well, he is that kind of guy, though, I can tell. But let me just give, there is an opportunity to teach people something here. And that is arousal, erection, and ejaculation are basically mediated by two different parts of what's called the autonomic nervous system. So it's really, some people use the aphorism point and shoot. The point is the parasympathetic nervous system, and then the shooting is the sympathetic.
Are you talking to Todd, who doesn't know what the word novelty means?
The point is, though, that he might have been very sort of excited in those sorts of situations.
Yeah.
The arousal, not just the arousal, but the stimulation can hasten the release and then make it difficult, and the anxiety and the stimulation also makes it difficult to go again.
Yeah, but how come I couldn't have a second novelty
on her?
Right.
I should shut up.
Yeah,
you're right.
It's a parasympathetic.
I think you're right. I think he probably started thinking about what he did. And
that could be it, yeah. Plus, how many times do you have to ejaculate in an evening? It's 3 o'clock, 3 a.m.,
exactly.
You've been drinking all night, you're cheating on somebody.
Right.
You got away with one. You're really going to
just go watch
fate?
Some TV.
Yeah, watch some TV.
Yeah. Oh, wait, Ryan, did you hear him?
Yeah.
He's alive again.
That's right. You watch it. That's what it's there for. That's right. That's right. All right, we're going to take a break?
Yeah.
All right, when we come back.
Now come back.
No?
Germany
or Florida.
Yeah.
This is a game that is sweeping the country. I don't know if it's made it up to Vail yet, but it is huge. We're going to tell you all about it. Tristan and Ryan are both here tonight. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, a little Germany or Florida. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline, Amanda. Adam, that's Dr. Drew. I think I mispronounced my name there, Drew. I was reading something. Melinda Clark's going to be here from the OC, and then Ty Pennington from the house show, Extreme Makeover, home show, which I got to admit I really enjoy, although I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff. They wanted me to do something on it, but I didn't want to do it. No, I wish I had. Well, it's like one of these things where they're like,
I've never heard you say that.
I've never heard you turn down
work and then go, oh, I wish I was doing that.
Yeah, I know.
Wow, you're changing.
No, I like the show, though. I really do like it.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm going to challenge Ty to a building knowledge quiz, though. Smart money's with the Ace Man.
I've seen you destroy others.
Yeah, we'll see who the real carpenter is. Oh, yeah. A pretty boy, you know. Nothing wrong with it. Probably doesn't like TV like Ryan over here. He'll be in on Tuesday night. Trista and Ryan are both here tonight, and they're... doing a little something where they design a t-shirt and you go buy it, and a fair percentage of the money goes to a worthy cause. Not all of it. Let's be realistic. You know what I mean? There's, you know, they have an expensive lifestyle. You know, up there in Aspen, they do a lot of entertaining. A lot of entertaining. And that means flying people in, and that means private, you know, transportation, jets, things of that nature.
Drugs.
Listen. A little nose candy at that altitude never hurts you, right, Drew? A little blow.
You certainly had to prove that.
Yeah. Let me just say this before we get back to the phones here. I don't know if you guys, you're back and forth to L.A.
Mm-mm.
You're not.
Done.
You're just in, okay.
Right. Just in Colorado.
Not as much.
All right, pretend you're interested in this, then. True.
Well, we get here. Okay. We just don't live here.
This is going to be a marathon.
All over the news. No, I got no marathon. The whole city closes down, you know, once a year so we can run the marathon. Again, it was 1 year ago today that we left for North Carolina to do Dawson's Creek when I missed my flight because of the goddamn marathon, because everyone's got to prove something to themselves. And listen, want to prove something to yourself? Do it in your living room. We're not to close down the entire city because you got to prove something to yourself. And let me say this. You can all run 26 miles. No one's going to stop you. Just go down to the track. Go down the track and do like 122 laps, whatever it is. Yeah. There you go. Nice and quiet. Nice and dignified. This is what I want to talk about, but now I'm fired up. Now, we have to close the entire city down so much a-holes can prove something to themselves. And here's the thing. If you can prove something to yourself, prove that you can run a marathon in under 6 hours. Because after that, you know, if you're sort of walking and jogging, it's not a marathon.
Yeah.
Drew, don't you think you could cover, you would eventually cover 26 miles?
Eventually,
if I give you enough Gatorade, bananas, and jerky treats,
eventually
you would cover 26 miles?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so what's the big challenge? No, you got to do it in a certain amount of time. All right, so let's say, here's the deal. We give you 6 hours, then we open up the streets. That's it. We're back on. You want to keep going? Fine. You're up on the sidewalk now, and you're doing it at your own risk. There you go. We, those who are secure enough not to prove anything to ourselves, except for how much TiVo we can watch, we want to use our city. So everyone will be happy. All right, let me just say this. There's this whole thing with the Highway Patrol now. They're cracking down on speeders. Did you see this? On Thursday and Friday, it's like they're having these news. Must be it's just been a slow news day. But they were talking about Highway Patrol. They're saying that we're putting more men out there. Right. This is 3 days after this study came out that basically said that the three most congested intersections in the world were within about an 8 mile radius of each other. The 405 and the 101, the 405 and the 10, and like the 10 and the 110 or something. And the entire planet, the most congestion in the entire world resides in this like 20 mile radius, and the Highway Patrol's got to get down and crack down, because once in a blue moon the traffic opens up a little, you got just a little bumper between you and the front guy, and you put your foot down a little bit. Oh no, this has got to end. Really? In a city where we average 11 miles an hour, you guys got to crack down whenever we get over 60? That's your plan? Totally destroy us? And by the way, can we raise the speed limit? I mean, look at it this way.
Just from a technology standpoint.
It's been 55 for 30 years or so. I mean, think about the vehicles. I mean, think about the technology. Think about the airbags and the crumple zones and the speed-sensitive steering, the suspension, anti-lock brakes, the whole their side curtain impact, this and that. Really? We don't get it? My dad drove a car and it had a goat horn on it. It was pointing toward your sternum. I mean, it was like the dash is made of a corrugated steel. Yeah. There's a spike on the front wheel. Yeah. The thing is, it's got these belt tires that roll off the rim if you go around the corner. So your big drum brakes. You're pumping the brakes trying to get the thing to slow down. Now we got computers, crumple zones. We can't go up 10 miles an hour. Not going to be safe. Really? You guys, this is what you got to do. This is what the Highway Patrol's got to do. You got to come down and bust the balls of the Los Angelinos. Who, once in a blue moon, you get a little space in front of you. This has got to end.
Let me tell you where it's coming from.
Got to end.
When we drive home at night, there's a little space.
Oh, it's got to end.
We're going 85 90.
God forbid a car that's safe at 150 should go 70. Ooh, look out. Right. Listen, here, let me tell you what the Highway Patrol needs to do.
Get bad guys.
Yeah. You stop guys that are swerving all over the place and littering, you know, throwing syringes in Mickey's Big Mouth bottles out the window. And then you got to bust that Mexican guy with the pallets that are stacked up 80 feet high in the back of the truck
and
everywhere.
The mattresses on the roof.
Yeah, the guy who drives with the mattress who doesn't tie down the mattress but he's got the arm hanging out of him, you stop him. Stop him. Not the guy with the speed-rated tires who's doing a good, steady 75. Really? Cracking down. Gotta end. So, what? An Autobahn, no speed limit. less fatalities per million miles traveled. You aware of that?
Mm-hmm.
How could that be?
Impossible.
But they're going faster than us. It has to be more dangerous. How do they have less? Idiots. Can we get this town moving? This is it.
Speaking of Germany.
March now. That's what I'm
Germany
saying.
Germany or Florida?
Oh. All right. But really, Drew, you didn't see any of this, the highway.
No, but I'm glad you told
guys,
me.
Yeah, get out there. Slow everyone down, you retards.
Two.
Pansy blue bow ties.
Patricia.
Yes.
Hey, what's going on?
I have a Germany or Florida.
Well, unfortunately, we can't take it because we got to go to break right now.
Yeah.
So hold on a second. I got carried away.
I'm sorry.
I couldn't help myself.
Who cares? Germany, Florida, this is... We're talking about me. We're talking about things I'm interested in. All right, Tristan and Ryan both have to leave now.
Are you not going to stay for the next break?
One more break. Because you want to play Germany or Florida.
Yeah, you got to say that.
I'm sorry for Drew and us out there.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Drew, off the air, though. We're going to talk about this.
Fired up.
All right, we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Tristan and Ryan are both here tonight. They are designing some T-shirts that will be on sale shortly at the medium upper end type places. And all the money, or at least some of the money, really none of the money.
Where are you going?
No, all the money's going to
okay?
Girls. Some of the money's
just
going
ran
there.
Out of steam right there.
I got tired.
Hit the wall.
I've done enough show, Drew.
No,
I squeezed 2 hours into 1 hour.
You did. Let's let the callers carry it from here. How about that?
Yeah, how about that, Drew?
There we go.
Yeah. Well, if I can't carry you, we should have the callers carry you, right?
Yes.
God forbid you.
I was angry. Yeah. We've gone from fired up to resentful.
We get paid the same. Exactly the same.
All right, Patricia.
For talking. How many more words do I say than you and I, Drew?
I daren't guess.
He doesn't even want to talk about not talking. That's what it is. True.
Well, I don't want to talk about how
tap
much you
out
talk.
In code how much I talk more than you do. Yes, that's right.
Patricia, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I have a Germany in Florida.
Okay, well, tell Trista and Ryan how to play.
Oh, see, now it's my time. Now it's okay for me to talk?
It's time for you to talk.
So you tell them how it works.
All right. Adam and his cronies at Kimmel, Jimmy Kimmel, mm-hmm. discovered that whenever they were discussing a story that was sort of macabre and bizarre and sort of deviant, it always seemed to emanate from Germany or Florida. Every story. So we just started having created a game where people call in and tell us the story, and we tell whether that it's Germany or Florida.
Cool.
All right, so it's time to play Germany or Florida. Go ahead, Patricia.
Okay. A man was convicted for operating his electric wheelchair while drunk. His sentence? A 3-month ban on driving his wheelchair in any other vehicle and a 2-month suspended jail sentence.
Now, that sounds like California.
Right.
Because no way the Germans are going to do that.
You mean what?
Germans are all...
They're all drunk?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're also weird with rules. Like people, you know, wind chimes in their apartment buildings get reported and stuff. You know, they're quirky people. They got the funky frames. They got the squared off shoes with the buckles. And then there's that whole, you know, that genocide thing that people like to forget about. But still, not done with them.
In the Florida, though, a lot of old people with wheelchairs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some boozing.
It sounds mm-hmm. like California.
I'm going Florida on this. You guys, what? Now you don't have to agree. You know.
No, I think Florida.
Ryan,
absolutely.
I just don't think any other country on earth would do retarded things like that, other than the United States.
All right, we're going Florida.
The answer is Germany.
Really sorry. All right, we're going to we'll send you out a windbreaker, Patricia.
Hooray!
All right. Drew, there's some sort of FCC violation for me all these years saying we're going to send you out something and
not doing
hanging
it.
Up on that. Yeah.
Probably.
Seems like you would almost have to send out something.
Yeah.
But you know, the FCC's got all these weird rules.
So like, you never send anything out?
We don't have anything.
Oh.
There's nothing that says a love line that's even
you
been
should.
Printed, right?
We had the TV show used to have some, but
yeah,
those are
stuff that says love line at the radio station. Love line is written on tape.
Right.
It's been stuck on to a mug or right. some headphones or something like that. Doesn't or may,
no,
or,
there you go. You can do shirts that look like that.
It's a quart of milk that's in the refrigerator.
Yes.
It's got a. That's the thing about radio stations. Radio stations. If somebody spends $1.50 on a quart of milk, their name is written on it 6 or 8 times, like on
that's
all four,
like the fire station,
four
right?
sides of it.
Yeah.
You get your people get into your crap, right?
Oh yeah. You buy it and then you're there, not there the next day, and someone else will take it if it's just name's not on it. But I think the interesting thing is that in Germany, you can drive your car as fast as you want,
but
yet not
your wheelchair.
Have a drink in your wheelchair.
Yeah, that's weird.
And by the way, if the disabled can't take a nip every once in a while, what have we come to? You know what I mean?
I wonder what he was doing in his
car. I'm able-bodied and I have to drink to forget. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And how does he get around now?
Yeah,
a wheelchair for 3 months?
I don't know.
The whole story is bizarre.
Let's talk to Bill, who's 20. Bill?
Yes.
What's happening? You know what I like on the radio station with the FCC rules? I like when they do caller number 179 is going to win the tickets to the Cheap Trick. And then they're like, and my whole thing, like if I ran a radio station, I'd just say caller 179 is going to win. And I just wait about 20 minutes.
Right.
And I'd probably pick up the phone and go, all right, you're 178, sorry. And then the next one, say you're 179. Right. Probably do two calls. Yeah. They got these poor interns. They sit there and they go, they get like 19, 20, you call 20, you call 21. And I always think to myself, why do you go into the 70s if you're going to make the poor idiot go through every, just make it 5 or 3. They do it, Chris. You do that once in a while, right? They do like, they get into the 80s, and the guy has to answer every single phone and go, 71, 72, 73. Yeah, just do it. Just get the first caller that gets in.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, you guys, we're going to start our own station up in Vail. Bill?
Yep.
You're 20?
Yes, I am.
What's happening?
Not a whole lot.
All right.
Hanging out.
Mm-hmm. Everyone says that.
Yeah.
You know.
Which is bizarre, is it not?
It is.
You call the live radio talk
show. You've been on hold for 82 minutes, Bill.
Yeah.
All right, what's going on?
That's why he's hanging out.
I got kind of a sensitive question here, but about a week ago, I was masturbating, and I must have been doing it too hard or something, because I tore the little piece of skin right under the...
Yeah. It's the frenulum,
frenulum. Under the head.
Frenulum's anything that connects anything, right?
That's right.
You got one under your tongue?
Right. Are you circumcised?
What if I took the one I have my penis and push it against the one you have under your tongue?
That's disgusting.
Thank you,
Adam.
I was just saying, what if? I didn't say I was going to do it. But like frenulum meets frenulum.
Is that your new porn?
The frenulum moniker? Factor. Yeah.
Just call you frenulum.
Yeah. All right.
Frenulum.
So where else you got a frenulum? What about between your fingers? Is that a,
no?
Not really.
It's up attacks down.
Oh, it's basically. Got it. All right. Keep an eye out for other frenulums.
And so are you circumcised?
Yeah.
All right. And so what's your question?
Well, I'm just wondering if that's like a big deal or not.
Well, if it gets infected, it's a big deal, but otherwise not a big deal. You've not been sexually active lately, right?
No. Actually,
you don't beat off that feverishly when you're getting laid consistently. I mean, you don't have at yourself with the kind of zest and vigor that Bill.
Verve.
I mean, he was actually tore his penis off. He was going at himself so hard. he's getting laid. He's banging. Well, he's got a couple of stewardesses coming in town this week.
The reason
he's banging
asked
some
is
models.
Any painful sores on the penis can be sort of a sexually transmitted disease. It may be something that's already going, and he's already irritated it when he masturbated. But no, okay.
Yeah.
So it's just a mechanical thing, and it just keep it clean. Peroxide, maybe even. And hopefully it will heal, okay?
Well, because it was bugging me for a couple weeks.
Ooh.
Wait a minute. I thought this happened last week.
Well, it did. It was bugging me, but then it finally went this past week. I think
you have to stop masturbating, Bill,
to
heal.
Exactly. But, you know, I'm young.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, how long does he have to stay off it?
Until it heals completely. I mean, there are other... boy.
What? What can you do?
I'm saying there are other parts he can stimulate. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't have to...
Put some up his ass?
No, I mean, there's...
What are you talking about?
I'm just saying there...
Oh, he doesn't have to work that.
Right.
Yeah, see, with me, it's like, if I ain't working head, I'm working sack, you know? I don't have a lot in between.
Yeah, that's what I was... I didn't want to insinuate that with old Bill.
Bill, do you have something in between that you can work?
Something in between...
Well, that, you know, something in between the frenulum and then where it dies in your belly. You know what I mean? Because that's a part you could work.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Well, focus on that part.
Just let it heal completely. It's going to be an area that will... It's easy to get these things re-injured. Wear a condom. Something you can do. Might...
when you're masturbating?
Hey, listen, that would not hurt a guy to train a little bit with a condom on. You know what I'm saying?
Hmm. Yes, Trista.
Wouldn't that make it worse?
Wearing a condom? No, sort of protect it.
Huh. Yeah. Though that's a very that you
although
know
although I know nothing about that
just stay out of this one.
Masturbating in with a condom on is a very lonely picture. It's like,
yeah, I know, but think
blowing
of training
out the candles
training.
Of your own birthday cake
I
that
know.
You made for yourself, you know, like
preparing training.
I mean, like, they're a pathetic sight, you beating off into a condom. And his buddy's got to show up like the next day and see the spent condom in the bathroom can. Like, hey, buddy, finally, the drought is... No, I was beating off. Oh, I'm sorry.
He's training. Drilling.
Birthday's coming up. You want to do the cake thing alone? Or
prepare to get used to what it feels like with the condom on, so we'll be sure to practice careful, safe sex.
I'm going to play a little solitaire, blow out the candles of my cake, and then beat off into a condom. And then do that thing where I go to the park and practice playing tennis against that wall.
A little touchy.
Yeah, yeah. That'll be it. I got, you know, I'm a lone wolf. I beat off into a condom. I'm that breed of cat. Pat?
Yes.
I'm a rambling man. You know what I mean? I can't stay long.
Yeah.
I don't got time for loving. I got to beat off into a condom. Yeah. Now, do you put the condom on or you just aim real good?
No, I keep it on.
Okay. Pat?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, I have a few...
Let me say this, too.
Oh, yeah.
If I beat off into a condom, and I threw the condom in the garbage can, and somebody showed up and said, like, hey, whoa, looks like somebody had a good night.
You'd go on with it.
I'd have to go with it.
Of course you would.
If my wife showed up and saw the spent condom, I'd just be like... What are you going to do? At least I put a condom on. Let's go to therapy. I could not admit that. Actually, I was beating off. I was crying. I blew out the cake. I was beating off into a condom. I wouldn't. I don't care. Walked in. My mom, my wife, clergy, gym coach, everyone could all walk in. Be like, no, I did it. I had a hooker in here. That's why I use a condom. No, you couldn't admit it.
No, we were
going
through
it. What are we talking to, Pat?
Yeah.
Yes.
Pat?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I have a fiance that I'm going to be getting married to in about 16 weeks. Now, I noticed when we first started going out that first time we had sex, she had inverted nipples. Didn't really bother me because, you know, I love her for who she is. But now that we're coming down to the point to where we're making a serious commitment, I'm just wondering if that is something that I should bring up to her and ask about. Is it something that could affect her? And on top of all that, if we decide to have kids, is that something that's going to affect breastfeeding?
Wait a minute. What do you mean you want to ask her about it?
Well, I'm not, because of the fact that, you know, her and I are becoming into a marriage, you know.
What are you going to ask her? Hey, when are you going to do something about your nipple? I mean, what are you going to ask her?
Well, I was just thinking about, you know, hey, hon, do you know if that's going to cause a problem for when we have a kid?
Yeah. You got to know.
Yeah.
Plus, you haven't talked about it yet?
Maybe her...
Just relax. It's not anything she can do anything about, and it's not going to be any problems. Okay?
No, it doesn't bother me at all.
No.
I was just wondering...
That's no big deal.
Is that going to cause a problem for a child with...
Yeah, well, what about that?
What did I just say?
Yeah, but what about it?
It's not a problem.
Why not?
They come out. They can be teased out. No problem.
Really?
Oh, they can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if she's was with the right guys, they'd probably come out. And look at it this way: maybe the rest of her's just inside out. You know what I mean? Maybe the nipples are going the right direction, and the rest of her's going the wrong direction.
Don't say that; that's a scary thought.
Well, they can get teased out. Yeah, yeah.
Listen, a lot of women have that. It's not a big deal.
Drew, what about? I know this doesn't sound medical, but like shop vac or some kind of something that's got a...
I don't think you need anything like that.
You know?
No. The child will serve that function.
And they could surgically...
Yes, they can. If there's really a problem, if there's a lot of irritation, that kind of thing.
Is there such a thing as not having a nipple, though? It's not inverted, it's just not there. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no.
No?
Because people have extra ones.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They should donate their superfluous nipple to women with... Hi, I'm Dr. Drew Pinsky. You know, we do a lot of kidding on the radio, but one thing that's not funny is inverted nipples. I'm asking those of you with superfluous nipples to donate those nipples.
Yes.
Give these
give
women
freely.
A kid. Yeah. Do you know the humiliation of not having any response to a cold wind when you're wearing a halter top, or not being able to breastfeed, or not being able to know your husband, let your husband know you're sexually excited by him? Yeah. Drew, a little PSA? Because they do cut out those superfluous nipples sometimes, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
The superfluous ones, not the real ones.
Okay.
You keep two, and then they get rid of whatever's above
the
two.
Gotcha. The two that are parallel, not the two that are linear.
Right.
You keep
right.
the two parallel.
But the third, they always head down, right?
Yes, yes.
Head
there's,
down.
There's a nipple line when you're developing, just like a dog has.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We share that with other mammals.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And so it just didn't go away. All right.
Crazy.
Or fully away.
Hey, but good times. You want to do another Germany or Florida?
Yeah.
We got to get back on that horse,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
We got to win one. Jennifer?
Yeah?
All right. We're on the comeback trail. So give us your Germany or Florida.
Okay. The court in southern town of blank ruled that social services did not extend to satisfying the 43-year-old's sexual needs after he attempted to sue his local welfare office because it had refused to finance his appetite for prostitutes and porn.
Hmm. Sounds a little German.
The welfare sounds very Floridian, but the boldness sounds German.
Yeah.
We got burnt by going Florida last time.
I know. I'm going to go with you, whatever you say.
Really? You do that every time. That puts so much pressure on me.
I know.
No.
What do you guys think? I
didn't understand
she
it.
She said
I'm
southern
sorry.
Town. I'm going Florida.
Oh, she said southern town.
There you go.
Say that again, Jennifer.
Well, right. She's not going to screw up twice, is she?
Okay, the court in the southern town of blank ruled that the social services did not extend to satisfying the 43-year-old's sexual needs after he attempted to sue his local welfare office because it had refused to finance his appetite for prostitutes and porn.
Wow, hold on.
All right.
Welfare office? Do we have?
Welfare offices?
Yeah, we got them.
But I mean...
Southern. Well, the sued. Southern town, but that could just be southern of wherever you are.
Yeah.
All right, so where we go? It's bold enough for Germany. But then
weird enough for Florida, though.
Yeah.
I'm going Germany.
All right.
I'm going Germany, too. We're all going Germany.
I'm going Florida.
Oh, wow. That is a bold man. All right, Jennifer, what is it?
It was Germany.
That's what I get.
You see what happens when you defy your woman?
I should know by now. You're right.
Wow. All right. A very valuable lesson was learned there. But well, not only Ryan actually learned a valuable lesson. Jennifer?
Yeah?
Thank you. Feels good. Feels good to come back.
Yeah,
we
does.
Really would have been behind the Germany or
that
Florida
would have been a streak like we never had.
Yeah, because we bat about 850 on these. Yeah. I don't know why. Well, I know the reason why. Most of our callers are so stupid that they'll say, like, Helmut von Hansberg, you know, or they'll say...
they'll literally say, there was a German guy. Heinz, a German guy.
Oktoberfest mayor broke out in the town of Mainz. It's like, okay, we're going to Germany. And we're such idiots, and we're really so shallow that we still look at it as a great victory for
right.
us. Even
gotcha.
Though the guy's name was Helmut,
right.
we're still going Germany, and we're feeling pretty good about ourselves.
Yep.
Yes, Drew?
Yep.
That's great about the
whatever
show that way, isn't it?
Yep.
He could be an immigrant.
If we had smarter callers would twist
screw
it up,
us up
a little.
A Floridian named Helmut, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tina?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
Actually, the thing is, I have a thing for this guy. He's 10 years older than I am. And he has a girlfriend. They've been going out for probably about 8 months now. But I really have a strong attraction for him, and I think that he might be attracted to me, too. But he's scared to leave.
How do you know this guy?
He's just mutual friends.
And he has a girlfriend?
Yeah.
And what has he done to lead you to believe that he's interested in you?
We actually slept together.
Except for that. Well, now that you mention it.
I don't want to put it out there, but yeah, a couple of times.
Okay. Well, let's slow down. I'm trying to figure out what led you to believe that he was interested in you. It's unbelievable. Tina, so this guy's an idiot. This guy's an ass. He has a girlfriend. He's sleeping around. It's somebody 10 years younger than him.
Yeah.
You're sleeping with him and wondering if he's into you. Of course, he's made no move to leave his girlfriend, which, of course, he won't.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He's an idiot.
Well, what about that? Yeah. What about him
Don't
leaving?
Don't waste your time.
Leaving his girlfriend. You think
so
he
might
leave her?
I guess I shouldn't tell him how I feel about that.
Well,
more like any different.
Doesn't he make you any kind of promises, at least when he's, you know, trying to get on top of you? He doesn't say anything about leaving his girlfriend?
Actually, the funny thing about it is this is going to sound really bad on my part, but I'm normally the one who instigates it. And I know this sounds horrible, but it's not so much because I don't want you to think that it's like him like taking advantage of me. I'm so young, all that. But and pretty much he said that he would have been with me ahead. It was like an age thing, and that's why he's with her, so.
Look, you're instigating. It just means you're a trauma survivor and just reenacting your traumas from the past. That's what that means. And this guy is an exploitative, willing partner. That's all. A good guy would not do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. But look, how long is he married, or is it just his girlfriend?
Oh, no. It's just his girlfriend.
Yeah, and
that doesn't make it any better.
No, well, it makes it marginally better.
Well,
marginally.
Yeah.
Hey, Tina. So this guy has made no promises of breaking up with anybody.
No. All right. No.
Yeah. What?
He's kind of tied in. He's kind of like stuck, and he's stuck in the relationship.
No, he's not stuck. He's not stuck. He's not willing to leave.
No one's ever stuck.
You have got yourself. You've done exactly what you set out to do. You've set yourself up and connected with an unavailable guy, just the way your dad was.
I love that white trash gene where they just blame it on the other chick or they blame it on their sister. They really listen to all these guys. Yes, where's your dad, Tina?
Oh, he's in my life very much, so.
Yeah, well, when was he out?
He hasn't, actually. I've lived with him my whole life.
You really? You have?
Yeah, he raised me, yeah.
Is he an alcoholic?
No, he's actually a great dad.
Where's your mom?
She's in the picture, too. They're divorced, but she's in the picture.
Oh, so. And people don't talk about their parents as in the picture.
I don't know. I mean, I'm 18 years old. I don't really, like, you know, they raised me. They both raised me, just not together.
Why was your mom not around?
Just they divorced when I was, like, six, so she was kind of obviously not going to be... You know, living with my dad, we weren't all living under one roof. But
why didn't she get custody?
Did you just go back and forth between your mom and your dad?
Yeah.
You did. So they just lived in the same town, and you went a few days here and a few days there?
No way.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, what exactly did you do?
No, I live with my dad the most, but, like, I'd go and see my mom whenever we wanted to.
Which was how often?
A couple of times a week or over the weekend. It was she was there. Pretty much. I mean, like, I guess not like a normal person, a normal family or whatever that's supposed to be would be, but a significant loss.
Does she have any problems? Is she into drugs or anything?
No. Neither of my parents are like that at all. I don't know. I think that they
Okay. Well, this may be one of those things. Yeah, there's a thing. 18
there's
got to
be something here. What does your dad do for a living?
He owns his own business.
Small business owner. I knew it. True.
You said it all along.
I can always tell. Yeah. What kind of business is your dad in?
I really don't want to say because if his girlfriend's listening, I don't want to put up with all that. So, dude, give it away.
All right. Here's the deal. You may just be, if there's something here, fine. We can't get to it. But there is a thing that many women go through between 18 and 22 about needing the unavailable man.
Yeah.
They need to set that up and do it until they've had enough of that, and then they get on with their life.
Yeah.
And you may be going through that phase. That's possible.
All right.
But you've done it. You've set it up. Now realize what you said. I know, but whatever.
You should get the little dig on dad's girlfriend.
I know. Not well, I like the... I like... They're in my life.
They're in the picture.
They both raised me. They're in the picture.
They're both in the picture. Okay. Yeah. My dad, he's wearing a burnt orange blazer, and my mom's over there in the picture. She's wearing a sundress. That's a picture.
That's something. Picture.
Yeah, something was... Something,
but it might
was,
not have been horrible, you know. Whatever.
It wasn't great. All right, but what she's doing, it's not like she's, you know,
she'll learn
tying off, doing a speedball and then you know, making a gangbang movie or anything. She's just caught up with that guy. She just
likes a boy.
She's too naive to understand
what he's up to.
Yeah. All right. We are going to let Tristan and Ryan go because they were supposed to only stay here until the top of the hour, but Drew got going on his Highway Patrol rant.
I'm sorry.
And they were so excited about playing Germany or Florida that they wanted to stay another break. All right. Well, get them T-shirts. They're going to be Nordstrom.
Are they T-shirts? Or
Saks Fifth Avenue.
Saks Fifth Avenue.
T-shirts.
Yeah. And,
Red
the
Siegel.
Money, some of the money... The lion's share. A portion of the proceeds will go to Girls Incorporated.
Yes.
All right, a very worthy cause. Well, mazel tov on your wedding.
Thank you.
They'd probably throw that one around the Vail Firehouse quite a
mazel
bit.
Mazel tov, yeah.
Yeah. That's
oh, yeah, Lou, he's a mensch. He detailed the fire engine yesterday. Didn't even have to ask him. All right. We will take ourselves a little break. God bless. May your marriage go on for 1,000 years.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, or at least, you know, whatever normal life expectancy is. For 45, 50 years more?
Yeah, good.
Probably more, yeah.
All right. 50, 55. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Krista and Ryan have left the building. Delightful couple.
That Ryan liked you.
These good people.
Yeah.
I think we're bros. Go out to the firehouse there, hang out with the boys. Hey, look, you work 9 days out of the month.
I know.
That's solid, right?
Yep.
Everyone loves you. And when's the last time anyone complained about a fire person?
Never.
Oh, those lazy firemen.
Never.
Oh, look at them sitting. By the way, as a fireman, you get to sit around all day and no one comes in and goes, hey, what the F?
Yeah.
What's going on? Hey, get up. Hey, stop playing ping pong and get busy. Start putting some fires out. It's like, it's one of these jobs where, hey, if there's a fire, you're working, but if there's not, no one says anything. Like, no one else says those jobs. It'd be like, hey, we got a job. We're doing a radio show. No one called in tonight. Drew, play some foosball and eat. Let's watch some TV. Let's wait around. Now, granted, when something happens, it's dangerous, it's exciting, you got to move, but you're around. I mean, the bell goes off, you're probably glad you've been putzing around half the day, right?
Yep.
And then for this, you get the next 20 days out of the month, you'll be getting off. That's on a shortish month, too. Yeah?
There you go.
All right.
It's a good time.
Joanna?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Well, I had a question about the abortion pill. Well, the EC pill.
Wait a minute. You want to know
Are you 486, or do you want to know about emergency contraception?
No, I'm 17. But I took the EC pill and
not are you 46?
No,
I didn't say are you 48.
She's 17, Drew.
Yeah,
she's
know.
Not 46.
No.
46-year-old would be heading into menopause. It'd be difficult for her to get pregnant. Use your head.
Are you 486?
Sweetie, we're
going to
need to see some ID. Hold on. Who's on first?
Can't follow. Go ahead. What's the question?
I just wanted to know if the EC pill is actually a formative abortion pill.
No.
That's emergency contraception.
Right, as opposed to RU486, which
Let's not focus on the edge.
I know, which is an abortion pill. What's that?
Well, not so long ago, after I took the pill, Planned Parenthood actually went to my school, and they were talking about the EC pill, and they were the spokesperson said that it's a form of abortion.
No.
Who
was the spokesperson?
I have no idea. She just went to our school and she was talking about
Okay. The way it works is it works by suppressing ovulation.
Why would they have said that? They wouldn't have said that.
What they may listen, there's a lot of confusion about how it works.
Yeah, but not from the people at Planned Parenthood.
Who knows? Be that as it may, that it has a theoretic possibility of interfering with implantation, much the same as your birth control taken every day, much the same as several anti-inflammatory agents. So although its predominant effect is on ovulation, like every other form of contraception, the theoretic possibility of it interfering with implantation, some people like to make a lot of. But if you want to make something of that, you'd have to make something of it for all the products, including anti-inflammatories and birth control pills that you take every day.
All right.
So really, you'd have to get rid of all of those things if you're going to say that it's completely unacceptable and definitely an abortion if there's even a theoretic possibility of interfering with implantation.
Did the woman from Planned Parenthood say it was a form of abortion, or did somebody from like the Young Republicans Club raise their hand and say, isn't this pill nothing more than an abortion pill?
No, because it was brought up in class. Well, they were asking, and it said, I think somebody had actually asked if it was, because it
was... That's what Adam is saying.
Well, yeah, they did, and the lady said that, well, as a matter of fact, it is because of...
No, she didn't say as a matter of fact it is. Could that have happened?
I don't know.
Hey, is it an abortion pill? Well, as a matter of fact, it is. Do you think that ever happened?
Well, because Planned Parenthood doesn't shrink from abortion. You know what I mean? Their thing is abortion or not, it doesn't matter. Whatever. Yeah. It's all good.
I love what Planned Parenthood is doing, but they're such idiots sending those supermodels over to Congress.
We had some problems with them at one point, too. I mean, it's like, know who your friends are.
I just remember we had some supermodel here, and she was sent by Planned Parenthood to go talk in front of Congress, and she had no idea what she was talking about.
Well, finally she went, I just read the script.
Who cares? Yeah. And she starts to find about it, too. It's like, listen, I'm a model. That's the underwriting theme for every model conversation. I'm a model. What do you want? You want I should crack a book and learn something like you ugly people? Please, give me a break. Why bother with that nonsense? I'm a model. But, Planned Parenthood could... I applaud what they're trying to do, but they need some huevos over there.
Well, they also need some skill and knowledge in what they're talking about.
I think I'm going to go on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you are too, Nicole.
You're going to get close.
Maybe not, though.
Nicole?
Hi.
Hey, what's happening?
Hi, I just got a real fast question for you guys.
All right, you're 19. You're calling from Utah.
Okay, well, I had a
question. Turn your radio down. Turn your radio down.
Turn the radio down. Okay, sorry.
That's all right.
Are you a Mormon?
Okay. No.
I'm just laughing because that's a drop that Engineer Anderson... that's about 100% strike zone rate on that one. Everyone always answers. Go ahead, Nicole.
Okay, every time me and my boyfriend have sex, and when I masturbate, I can orgasm. Mm-hmm. But whenever he goes down on me, I can't ever do it.
Oh, my God.
But this is that multiple orgasm again. This is how women are when they're multiply orgasming.
So no orgasm via oral sex.
No orgasms during oral sex, no.
But multiple during intercourse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Oh, this is awesome. You know what that's like? That's like having a girlfriend that's like, well, I love peanuts, but I only eat the shell. So I got all these delightful roasted, salted things. This is byproduct for me. So I'm going to crack all these and just eat the husk part. You want the peanut? I can feed them to you. Oh, I have these crazy multiple orgasms that make you feel like Superman when I'm on top of her. But going down, no need for that.
Nobody,
not into it.
Nobody sort of discusses this, but the female sexual response is across a spectrum, and each woman is different. Nicole represents probably less than 10% of women, maybe even less than 5%.
Really?
Who are multiply orgasmic with intercourse but feel uncomfortable, like oral sex is just sort of...
And when Drew says represents, he doesn't mean you're a spokesperson for multi-orgasmic women. Yeah, you're going to have to hit the circuit. Yeah. So nothing during... does oral sex feel good to you?
Yeah, it feels good, but I can't orgasm.
All right. And by the way, does that need to be a goal now that you can have these multiple orgasms through intercourse?
Yes, of course.
Remember the girl we talked to last week?
Yeah.
It sounded a lot like that.
They're effervescent. They're vivacious. You know what I mean? Why shouldn't they be happy? They're having an orgasm every 28 minutes. You know what I mean? I mean, look at those women who never have an orgasm. Think what happens to them. You get that weird... short cropped hair, and they start putting chains on their glasses, and they walk around looking like they bit into something bitter. You know what I mean? Picture the woman that doesn't have the orgasm. They're angry.
Interesting.
Resentful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Look at these. The ones that do. They're the bells of the ball. Walking through life like they're on nitrous. When I laugh, I have... Oh, it's a vicious cycle. You'd be happy, too. They're having them at the gym. They have them, like, you know, when they sit in a sit in a car. They have, you know, the way, you know, when they push the clutch in, it gives me an orgasm. Yep. They're having them all over the place. But look, here's the thing in life. Don't chase the one that doesn't come easily.
Right. Well, don't chase the one that doesn't fit with your body, your physiology.
And, this, and this women, is, the
you're
women.
You're blessed. It's a women, mitzvah, Adam. It's a mitzvah.
It's a mitzvah. Drew loves the Yiddish. The thing is the women who can't have an orgasm via intercourse and who've been chasing that Moby Dick for, you know, 20 years plus would trade a million of their oral sex ones for one of your vaginal ones.
Yeah.
Just be glad. Yes?
It's how you work. It's good.
It's good. And if
you're exceptional.
Yeah. Now, though, Drew, wouldn't you say that the woman, if you had to bet on, here's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You got two women. Yeah. They're 19. Yeah. One of them is having orgasm through intercourse. Mm. The other one is only having orgasm through oral sex. Mm-hmm. You got to give one of them an orgasm, the kind that they don't normally get. You definitely go the oral route, right? I mean, you get the one who can't. Right, that's an easier safe to crack.
Yes,
you're thinking like when a chick is saying a multiply orgasmic through intercourse, but nothing through oral sex. You think to yourself, rookie. You got a rookie.
Figure something.
You get a man down there. Yeah. He'll give you one.
Yeah.
I'd suck one out of you. Believe me, I get on you. I get something. You know what I'm saying?
You figure something out.
You hear can't have one through intercourse. You're like, sweetie.
It's like the
yeah. Hey, good luck.
Yeah.
I gotta go
because you know that's not gonna happen to me.
Yeah, no, because you know, there's been guys there that have been trying a lot harder than you got, more than what you got left in your loins, and it ain't happening. Mm-hmm. The other one, you're just like, well, I could dial you in, I could show you. All right, let's take a little break. Drew, supreme man of passion. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Yo, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Melinda Clark is coming in here from the OC. And then Ty Pennington is coming in here on Tuesday. Drew, can we do something on the show? We got to look up. We got to get some sort of contractor's test challenge or something.
Yeah.
I must challenge Ty Pennington. He seems to know what he's doing. He does that extreme show. It's on tonight. I TiVo'd it.
You're
I really
them.
Do enjoy it. Well, I don't know, Drew. I don't know everything. You know, I don't know every code and all that stuff. A lot of stuff to know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah. We'll see.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Corey?
Why don't we just take calls from listeners and see if we can answer
it? If our listeners weren't retards, we could do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When's the last time someone called in with anything that we've asked them to do?
Yeah,
Adam, you're wrong about the backfiring. You said that then they say exactly what I said,
right?
Just about.
Yes.
But they start off with, you're totally off.
They start with, I was shocked to hear you so far off.
I was shocked and dismayed. I almost dropped my bong.
Yeah,
and then they tell you whatever you said about whatever it is.
Yep.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Here we go.
Then you go, hey, give us a home improvement question. Ask something, but not plumbing or electrical. Ask something about carpentry or woodworking. My dog went number one on my carpet. I want to know how to get the stain up. That's about the best you're going to do, right? You understand?
Yeah.
These people cannot be relied on for anything.
All right.
Not even rides to the airport.
Huh.
Remember that debacle?
Oh
yeah.
How stupid were we?
How stupid was me?
I know,
how stupid was you?
I was supportive of this whole thing. That was weird.
I tried to get a listener to take me to the airport one time, long before we were in this studio, before we knew you, Chris. But here's the problem with trying to get the listener to... I told Drew he had to pick me up because we're going out of town.
Yeah.
And Drew refused. No, here's Drew's solution. We had a 7 a.m. flight out of LAX, which meant if you want to leave, you got to leave about 5:15, 5:30 in the morning. I told Drew, swing by and pick me up on your way to the airport. Drew said, I got a better plan. Come home with me tonight, sleep on my sofa, and then you can wait in the car while I make my rounds at the hospital at 4:30 in the morning.
That's right.
Which I replied, well, will you crack the window so I can get some fresh air in the car like a dog? How dare you? I'm literally a millionaire.
Yeah, at that point, you weren't quite yet. But
I was literally becoming a millionaire. I was literally at the point where I was soon to be saying literally a millionaire.
You're saying millionaire, but not literally.
So I said, I'm not driving myself to the airport. This is a slap in the face and a challenge. I'll have a dedicated listener.
Yes. And you met her that night, right? Didn't she show up or something?
No. I screened. I said, I want a girl.
Yeah, yeah.
I want some weird guy. Next thing I know, is get cornholed by the side of the freeway. Or
you never met this girl. We never met her.
Never met her. I said, you need to be a female. Women are more responsible than men.
Yes.
But I'll tell you one thing: women have difficulty with
getting up.
They do not wake up. Here's the deal, and this is why men get paid a dollar for every 70 cents you guys get paid. We can go out boozing and stripper chasing and doing debauchery and drugs till 2-3 in the morning, that alarm clock goes off at 6:45, we're up.
Yep.
We're showing up at work. We're green. We may heave at some point, but we show up. Chicks, they wake up, they look at the alarm, they slap the snooze bar twice, then the phone call. Yeah, I'm sick. And they don't go into work. That's why we get that extra 30 cents.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I said she had to pick me up at 5:15 at my house. I didn't want to tell her exactly where I lived. So I made the mistake of telling her, meet me down on the street. There's about 700 stairs down from my house. And it was raining, and it was dark, and Drew and I were going to Florida. And I sat down there with my week's worth of luggage in the rain, in the dark night, sitting about 5:30 in the morning, standing there.
Was that the Florida trip?
Yeah.
Gainesville?
We were doing a gig that had
8,000 people.
8 or 9,000 people waiting for us, and we were just going to make it on time. I waited. I walked up and down the street. I left my luggage on the street. I jogged up one way. Certain point, about 6:10, 6:15, I realized this C wasn't coming. Lugged all my stuff up, trucking it up the wet stairs, and then I throwing it into the car, speeding like a maniac to the airport, running like OJ in the Hertz commercial through the airport. Get to the terminal, get to the thing. It's the furthest one out there. Drew is on the plane. Drew's just stepped off the plane.
Yes,
waiting for me. The plane is there. We have first class tickets to let us on the plane. And now you'll not be getting on the plane.
No, but we have policy.
The plane is there.
Waving at the captain.
Now, people are walking, staff members are walking in and out of the plane. We got first class. Now
we have a policy.
We've been arguing for 10 minutes. We could have been on the plane.
Yep.
No.
That's exactly what you said.
Not going to do it. And then I said to the woman, or the man, actually, something I think that confused her more than anything, because I was in a lather at that point, and I yelled, get me the guy from the commercial. Remember that? And they said, what do you mean the guy from the commercial? The helpful guy, the friendly guy, the guy who chases the guy with his briefcase that he left back at the terminal all the way across into the parking lot. The guy can't stop doing enough for you. Where is he? Where's the guy from the commercial? And she was like, huh? The helpful guy. Get him! He's not here. He doesn't.
We have policy.
Meanwhile, the plane is still there. It's still there, and I've been on the run for 2 hours. Now, we're just going to sit there and watch the plane back out. We're making plans about the other plane we're going to get on. Our plane is there!
Yes.
We're standing looking at it!
And to add insult to injury, it was a trauma we never got over, but fast forward 2 years, Catherine McCord, our co-host on the television show, tells a story later about how they pulled the plane back into the dock to pick her up.
Yeah, she said
Same airline.
She was running late, and she looked through the glass, and she was waving at the pilot, and the pilot stopped, and they
came back in.
Came back and got her.
Yeah. Okay, there
that's
we go.
What
it's policy.
Set
policy.
Of tatas and some blonde hair will get policy. You. But now, policy. We're going to have a 40-minute argument while the plane is parked.
And
staring at
a real
the plane.
Serious problem to get to Gainesville. Remember
yeah.
that?
Oh, yeah. And then Drew's wife bought him like a $1,500 cashmere blazer that was overcoat that was on the plane. Yeah. They wouldn't let you go back and get that off either.
That's good.
Yeah. I always like that. Screw the callers tonight. But there's these policies. They're like these meter maids. And I'm calling you meter maids because you're pussies. That's what you are. You're meter maids. You're not parking enforcement. You're pussy meter maids. These guys, this is these policies. Like, hey, I already started riding or with the plane. Well, the door closed. Well, open the door.
Right.
Hey, I already started riding. Go ahead and write void on that because now I'm here. Yeah, you know, these everyone with their convenient policies. The door's closed. What do you need, a cutting torch? You need, like, acetylene rig to get the goddamn door open? Or you just turn the hatch and open it? Oh, the door closed.
Yeah.
And then you land and you open it.
Yeah.
Just to open the door. Oh, we closed it. Oh, shut up. Everyone, but they're stupid. We already started this, or there's no that, or there's little, we don't give the refunds on the All right, Drew. I already started writing. What the hell does that mean? And listen, you fat coos. You started writing while you're in your car before it even came to a stop. I already started writing. Yes. Yeah. All right, I'm sick. Sick of all of you tonight. I'll take a quick break. I'll be right back after this. Hey, yo. Well, there you go.
There you go.
Tomorrow night, Melinda Clark from the OC, she's going to show us how they do it in the OC, is going to be on. And I want to thank Trista and Ryan for coming in tonight. Go out and get one of their T-shirts. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. We'll send you out a windbreaker, Patricia.
Hooray!
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.